The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-ear audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman.
You're listening to SBS News.
States in their war against Iran, referring partly to Pine Gap, the secret US-Australian intelligence base near Alice Springs, independent MP Andrew Wilkie is demanding the Parliament be able to scrutinise any Australian involvement in what he claims are a series of illegal strikes by Western allies. Israel's top Canberra diplomat says the strikes were in self-defence and comply with international law. Andrew Wilkie is talking to SBS Chief Political Correspondent Anna Henderson.
The fact of the matter is that a country can only attack another country if it is in self-defence, because you have been attacked, or because an attack is imminent. Clearly in this case, an attack by Iran on Israel or the United States was not imminent. In fact, just today, the US government has said it's at least 18 months before Iran might have a nuclear weapon and a means to deliver it. Although, quite frankly, I don't know what to believe out of Washington at the moment, because just last year, President Trump said that the US had virtually destroyed the Iranian nuclear program. So, by any measure, an attack wasn't imminent. It was not sanctioned by the United Nations. And, in fact, Washington didn't even go to the United Nations and try and make the case. So clearly, what is going on, what we're seeing on the TV screens, is illegal under international law. Now, that's not to say that we don't need to deal with Iran. It's not to say that they're not an odious regime that did need to be dismantled. Not to say that it's actually fundamentally good that the regime, the leadership is being dismantled and that they are being, to some degree, disarmed. But we've got to do it right, because Australia relies more than most countries on a rules-based order. As a middle power, we rely on a rules-based order, and for us to get in behind the US and Israel and disregard a rules-based order fundamentally disadvantages us going forward.
Why does it disadvantage us going forward?
Because in a world where seemingly might makes right, or increasingly a world where might makes right, I'll say that again, a rules-based order fundamentally advantages Australia. We're a middle power. We can't compete in a world where might makes right. We need international law to be applied universally and fairly, and that advantages us. It protects our best interests. So why on earth the Australian government would almost gushingly get behind the US and behind Israel in breaking international law? It's unfathomable. It's certainly contrary to our national interest.
A lot of people in the national security space are sort of talking about Taiwan, talking about China, talking about the implications for our region, but this message being sent out internationally. Do you think that is a real and present concern for Australia?
Oh, I think it's a real issue that every time Australia disregards international law, every time we back the United States and Israel to disregard international law and to attack a country, a third country, without the backing of the United Nations, we're effectively saying to Moscow that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is okay. We're also giving license to Beijing, to China, to say, well, if you want to go at Taiwan, that's your business, because there's effectively no international law anymore to prevent you doing that. I mean, the precedents in this are very, very alarming. In fact, it happened again last year when the US and Israel waged their 12-day war against Iran. That was a breach of international law. What's going on at the moment is a breach of international law. Now, sure, let's deal with Tehran. Let's dismantle their government. Let's disarm them. But let's do it legally and in a way that preserves international law and preserves Australia's best interests.
The government says it's not committing troops, it's not committing any kind of warfare capability to this conflict in the Middle East. But you have a lot of history in understanding Australia's intelligence operations. Do you think there needs to be more transparency about whether or not Pine Gap or other intelligence gathering by Australia could be helping to inform what the US and Israel are doing?
Well, there's a couple of layers to this. First of all, just by virtue of our diplomatic support for the United States, that is bad enough. But the other layer, of course, is that we host joint defence facilities. And it's not a question of if, it's a fact that intelligence relevant to what's going on in Iran at the moment and in the Middle East, some of that intelligence would be travelling through Pine Gap. So in a practical sense, there is no doubt we are involved. So, you know, at whatever way you look at this, in a practical sense with intelligence facilities or in a diplomatic sense, which is actually a very, very powerful tool for a country to use, you don't give your imprimatur to the unlawful attack on another country lightly. That's a big deal. It's not just a press conference for Penny Wong or Anthony Albanese or Richard Marles. It's a very powerful statement being made on the world stage that goes to our very reputation as a member of the community of nations.
In terms of what could happen next, it's quite unclear. Even the Israeli ambassador today was saying he can't say how long this might grow for. Donald Trump's talking about a matter of, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, that the Middle East is now kind of in control of what happens next in some ways, not the United States. So at what point do you think the parliament might need to be engaged in some way to have some say or debate about what role Australia plays going forward?
Well, there's already been a debate, I understand, in the Senate yesterday, brought on, I think, by the Greens, about what's going on in the Middle East. That would be a healthy thing for the House of Representatives to also have a debate. Although we're not putting troops on the ground, and although we're not having aircraft or ships involved, we are supporting the US through our joint defence facility at Pine Gap and who knows where else. So I think there should be debate in here. In fact, this is another example of a situation where we really need war powers reform, that in any case where Australia is involved in conflict, it should be a matter for the Parliament, not a matter for the Prime Minister and his cabinet. That is the case, actually, in the United or in many European countries. It's the case in the US that Congress has to approve going to war. It's not the law in the UK, but it is the practice that the British Parliament will debate and vote on being involved in a war. It's not the case in Australia. We are actually the outlier where unilaterally the Prime Minister can declare war or declare we will be involved in a war. I mean, that's what happened in 2003 in the invasion of Iraq. The government, without the consent of the Parliament, joined in the illegal invasion of another country. And here we have it again, where Australia is giving diplomatic and practical support to a country in a war, an illegal war, no matter how justified it might be to dismantle the regime, no matter how justified it might be to disarm Iran, it's got to be done legally. In Australia in 2026, that should involve the Parliament debating the matter and giving the Prime Minister, at least a moral authority to involve our country in that conflict.
Just finally, the opposition this morning has raised concerns about any Iranians in Australia or others who are mourning the death of the Ayatollah. It's talking about whether or not there should be some kind of criminality attached to that. Do you have concerns about anyone in Australia who might be holding any services to mourn the Ayatollah's death?
Oh, look, on one level, it beggars belief that anyone could mourn the death of the leadership in Iran. It is such an odious regime. I travelled in Iran myself about 24 years ago, and I saw firsthand how at odds the regime was with the average Iranian. It's good that government, that leadership is being dismantled. But I don't think we should be celebrating the death of anyone. We don't have the death penalty in this country. We don't sanction assassinations. And the more and more laws that are being created to stifle free expression in this country is taking us step by step, little step by little step by little step, to being a police state.
The The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-air audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman.